Welcome to another inspirational My Church podcast. We hope that this message will bless and encourage you. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, please visit livelove.ca.
My hope is today is that what I have to say, that I would do it justice, but that you would get something from this. So we're going to jump in to Luke 24. And if you can picture this, or if you kind of get a backdrop for this story, Jesus has just died. He's just passed away. He hasn't risen from the dead. It's 3 days in. So this is the day that he's rising from the dead. And according to these guys, as Luke is kind of writing the early history of the church, nobody really knows. There's been some rumors that Jesus is no longer in the tomb. The disciples aren't really sure what to make sense of it or how to make sense of it, what to think of it. And so Luke, at the end of his book, writes about these two guys, one named Cleopas. We don't know the other guy's name. On this road to Emmaus, and this is what it says in Luke 24. It says, "The same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, 'You know, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along?' They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, 'You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened in the last few days.'" What things? Jesus asked. God, I thank you for today. We thank you for your word, for the opportunity to connect with you today. I pray that as I communicate this, God, that your spirit and just who you are would just impact each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Well, look, I'm getting older. I know I still look like a 14-year-old, but I am. And this is the thing, is I'm noticing I'm not as fit as I used to be. Rebecca and I, we went down to Canada Day. We were walking around all day. And the next day, my legs were sore. I was like, man, what is that? I was like, wow, it's from walking. That's when you realize you need to make some changes. And this is the thing, is I've tried and tried and tried to make changes. I get really excited about making a change. And I jump into it, spend a whole bunch of money, and it pretty much as soon as I start, I stop. And I'm sure none of you guys can associate with that. But especially, I don't know if you've seen those dieting people. People who love dieting. It's like, you know, they eat like quinoa loaves with like zero fat, no sugar, and like water from the fountain of youth. Like those type of people. And this is the thing, don't sell a diet. Like just don't do it. Like none of us want to hear it. None of us are convinced. It's like, oh no, it's so easy. I can eat apples and big gulps of air. It's like, it is the best. No, it's not. It's not fun. It's not good. So this one time in particular, my brothers, they love jogging. They'll jog about 5, 10K sometimes. And I was like, man, I need to make a change. I'm going to do it. So I bought some shoes that were way too expensive. And I was like, Wellington, no matter what, wake me up. I'm telling you, no matter what. 3 days later, he finally woke me up. And I was like, okay, I'm going to run. And literally, I was 3 blocks into it. And my body just went, nah, you're not. Head back home. You're not doing it. I'm out. And literally, I just stopped, start walking. My brothers are like, we've literally run 3 blocks. It's like, I'll meet you back there. I'm just going to pray. That's going to be my workout for today. It's not happening. But I think in life, so often, we can start something almost as soon as we start it. And I look at these guys, and Jesus has been dead for only 3 days. 3 days have elapsed, and they're looking at life, and they're going, man, this, we thought it was something. We thought this guy meant something. We thought this guy was going to be the answer. In fact, people believe that Jesus was going to be the military leader who would free the Israelites from Roman oppression, and he's been dead for 3 days, and they're looking at this situation, and they just go, man, I can't do this. I'm out. And I think so often in life, we can have that approach. And this is the thing, is that we put so much, we have this pressure cooker of expectation in life, that if something doesn't happen, if there's any semblance of resistance, then obviously, if it doesn't feel good, I better stop. Right. I've been trying and working on this blog, and I've written a couple of them, and I didn't get any good feedback, so it must not be the right thing to do. I've been working in this relationship, or I've been serving in church, and all of a sudden things are getting a little bit difficult. Man, so I think I need to tap out. Man, when it comes to my calling, I was trying to do it, and I spent about 6 months, you know, jumping into this calling, and it doesn't seem like it's happening, so obviously I must not have been called to that thing. And this is the thing, is so often I think we can stop in life, but ultimately what we're doing is stopping short of God's best for us. And obviously, I don't know your situation. I don't know what that means for you. And everybody's going to have a different interpretation of that. But I wonder if you're stopping short of God's best. I wonder if there's places in your life where you've quit on the call of God, where you've turned your back and said, man, I just don't have what it takes. I don't have enough resource. I don't have enough time. I don't have that relationship. I've tried and it doesn't work. And this is what I know about life, is that things can happen in life, whether it's fears, whether it's failures. Maybe for you, you become frustrated, you know, or maybe it's just fatigue. And you're looking at your life and you started something with enthusiasm, but maybe there's places that you've located that you just don't have what it takes anymore to keep going. And yet this is the thing, I look at these guys' story. They're walking away and obviously they're processing what is a devastating loss. And maybe your loss isn't as devastating as these guys today, but we all process that loss. We all feel that disappointment. Maybe you're going, man, I don't feel disappointed. Disappointment is honestly just lower energy towards God. I wonder if there's places in your life that you just don't have the same gusto that you used to, that you don't have the same passion that you used to, that you don't have the same conviction that you used to. And so these guys are walking away, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up and starts walking with them, and everything starts to change. And today, if I can encourage you, the case that I want to make is the case to keep going. And this is what I know, is even in those places where we've quit, even in the places where we've tapped out, that's actually where God shows up and he turns our disappointment into destiny. So how do we do that? How do we get passionate again about what God's put in our heart? How do you get passionate again about that relationship? How do you get passionate again about God's church? I believe that this story shows a progression that Jesus takes these two men through, and it's the same progression that if we apply in our own lives, I think that we can start to see life with a renewed passion, with a renewed determination, with a renewed grit to say, man, I'm going to dig my heels in, and I'm going to do something in this life. I'm going to make something of the call that Jesus has put in my life. And so that's really what I want to do with the time that we have. Because I think what you bring to this world is too important to just stop short. What you bring to this church is too important to just stop short. And I want to make my intentions clear. I'm going to make application to any aspect of your life, but I want to make application to the church as well. Because I believe that in a room this size, with this many people, you have something unique to bring to this house. You have something unique to contribute to the very plan that God said, when I restore my kingdom, when I restore humanity, it's going to be done through the vehicle and institution of the church. I believe that you have something unique and important to bring to the table today. But maybe there's places where you've gone, you've tapped out. Man, life has gotten busy. My schedule has gotten busy. Things have happened. I want to encourage you, obviously, look through this lens with whatever maybe the areas and places are in your life, whether it's relationships, maybe it's even your career, but I want you to keep the church in mind too and the part that you have to play in building this family. So this is the first question or first point, but it's a question that I want to frame is, what direction are you headed? What direction are you headed in? So obviously, right off the bat, we know that there's geography in this story. These guys are heading from Jerusalem out to this little town called Emmaus. Jerusalem was the epicenter. The Passover was happening at this time. That's where Jesus was killed. So all of his followers are there, and they're heading somewhere else. And I think that this is very indicative of how we can often live our lives. We're quick to change direction when it comes to life. I don't know if you've experienced this, but I think when something happens, when you're, you know, it's the biggest or smallest of things, we can all of a sudden just change direction in an instant. You know, and I look at even the Israelites. This is a very human thing. When you follow their progression and what God brought them through, so God brings Moses on the scene. He sees his people who have been enslaved. He's like, okay, I'm going to send somebody to free these guys. So they roll in, the Israelites, amazing. That's great. God's going to do something great. All of a sudden, the Pharaoh starts to put a little resistance into the pot. And he's like, man, you guys got to work harder. They're like, look, we don't want what you're selling, Moses. Just get out of here. We're not good with it. So finally, they're on their way out. And they're like, man, this is incredible. We knew you were going to do it. We knew you had what it takes. And then all of a sudden, they get trapped at the Red Sea, and they're like, man, I can't believe that you brought us here. I can't believe that we're here. Man, we wish we were back home. And then all of a sudden, God opens up the sea, and they're like, man, this is incredible. Let's do this thing. We're taking the promised land. It's going to be incredible. And then they look at the menu, and God is literally from heaven bringing down food. They're like, we don't want the menu. Let's go back home. At least we had fish and steak. I don't want this. But this is the thing. Is our human tendency is when there's a little bit of resistance is we go, no, I don't want that anymore. No, I don't want to do that anymore. And you look at these guys. It hasn't been that long, and all of a sudden the wind is sailing a different way. If you live your life based on resistance, then you will change direction in life so often. You'll go from one thing to another. You'll go from one opportunity to another. You'll go from one passion to another. You'll go from one conviction to another. I wonder for you, what direction are you headed in? And this is a way to filter this question to really understand that. Are you headed, when you make decisions in intention, when you make decisions in fatigue or failure or in the midst of frustration, is that decision an advancement or a retreat? So let's further define that. What does that mean when I talk about retreat? Here's a couple of things that I think about. Is smaller expectations, suspended passion or purpose, or maybe sidelining relationships. I think when we make a decision based on retreat, those are some of the things. We curtail our expectations. We look at maybe some relationships that we had and we go, man, I can't run like that. I'm not going to do this anymore. Maybe you look at some of the passions that you have and you just kind of go, yeah, I mean, that was good for me at that time, but man, it doesn't really mean what it used to mean when I was, I was young. I was a teenager. Maybe for you, you're going, man, I'm just maturing and it's not really what I think. And this is the thing. This is an exhaustive list. And so obviously you've got to just think it through, because maybe some of those things just in your season are the right thing. Like, I don't know, but I'm just thinking from my experience, that's often what I see. When I see a decision made in resistance that's a retreat, that's what I often see. And I wonder for you, when you make decisions in rough times, when you make decisions where you can't see God in your season, what does it look like? Are you still advancing and saying, man, I believe that God has positioned me here? Are you still making decisions going, man, I believe that he's put me around the right people at the right time in the right place? Or are you going, man, I guess that's not really what I thought it was. I guess the calling isn't really what I was expecting. So these guys, they look at this and they're retreating together. They're walking away from what God had for them. And so obviously that's their situation, that's the decision that they make, but one thing that strikes me is Jesus' response. So picture this. These guys have followed Jesus. They don't only know him like we know him, they literally would have seen the guy. He was a real person in history, he was a real figure. They were following him. They would have seen his miracles. They would have seen what he had done. They would have believed that this guy wasn't just a good idea, but he was the God. He was literally God incarnate. He was going to change the world. And this guy is talking and alluding his whole ministry to, man, I have to go away. Things are going to happen. And he dies on the cross and literally surrenders everything that he is. He gives his whole life for these guys. And then they go, yeah, no, I'm good. Now, I don't know about you, but even sometimes when I'm working here and I'm like, man, I'm sacrificing that, and somebody just does that, I have choice words. Like words that probably aren't in the Bible. And this is the thing, is when you look at this story, I would expect Jesus to say, man, like, you know what? I can't believe this. I'm going to be at the door of your destiny. You go do you, boo. And then when you're ready to come back, I'll be here. Like, that's just how I would do it. Some of you are looking at me puzzled, but maybe for you, you guys see it like Jesus. But Jesus doesn't respond like this. He shows up, And he just starts walking with them. Hey, where are we headed? Man, well, I just don't want to do this anymore. I tried serving. It didn't work out. My schedule just got crazy. Okay, that's fine. Where are we going? I tried with that relationship. I gave it a year. I gave it my best shot. And I really, really tried. And it's just not coming together. Okay, let's keep going. Hey, where are we headed? Look, I had tried, I was giving in all these things, but man, when you look at my life and everything that's happening in my life, I just can't do this anymore. And he just walks and waits patiently. You know, I could give you a whole bunch of convincing reasons why you should serve, why you should be called, you know, why you are called, why you should do all of these things. We could reason it all out, but I'm convinced when I look at this that the greatest, most compelling thing is that Jesus just decides to walk with us in our retreat. And maybe it's actually God's goodness that could truly and deeply change us. It actually says in the Bible that the goodness of God leads to repentance. Repentance, metanoia, it's the word of seeing things differently, seeing things how God sees them. And this is the thing. You have the space to be able to retreat. And God doesn't leave you where you are. He doesn't wait at the door of your destiny, but he will walk with you and he will work with you. And if there is a God who is that good, if there is a God who sacrifices that much, and even when we stop short says, I will still walk with you. I'll still be in your corner. That's a God that I don't want to follow my own path. I want to follow his path. I want to follow his potential because he is so good that it changes our response. Maybe today you need to be reminded how good God truly is. How good he is in your life. That even when we don't do it, even when we don't live up to the standards, even when we call it quits, he just says, I'm here. He doesn't ask them to change. He doesn't call them out. He just walks with them and says, okay, let's do this. Let's explore that area. Man, the goodness of God ought to change how we approach his church. The goodness of God ought to change how we serve the people around us. The goodness of God ought to affect our generosity. The goodness of God ought to affect our relationships. And you might be feeling like, man, I don't have what it takes anymore. I don't have any more steam. Remember how good he is. You know, if you're taking notes, write this down, but you just don't get it. You just don't get it. Let's reread this. So Jesus starts asking them what happens. So Jesus asks them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk around or walk along? They stop short. So this literally stops them dead in their tracks, this question. Sadness written across their faces. Then one of them replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard of all the things that have happened here in the last few days. What things, Jesus asked. So if you can picture this, all of these disciples, everybody would have known. Passover was happening in Jerusalem, so the city's population would have swelled. There would have been tons and tons of people. All of his followers would have been there. And so this would literally just be like if you were walking up to somebody talking about playoffs, and somebody walked up to you like, what's hockey? You'd be like, what? Like, are you serious? And then if you were me, you would just make it up and be like, I don't know. Like, I have no idea what happens in any sports. But this is the thing, you would be shocked to hear somebody go, whoa, whoa, what happened? And yet I think so often in life, this is how we can feel. Yeah, this is great for you, that's awesome. Yeah, I should keep going, keep believing, don't stop believing, all of these things, but you don't understand my situation. Yeah, it's great when it comes to serving and you're a pastor, and guess what, this is what you do for a day job, but I'm trying to balance my family, I'm trying to balance my finances, I'm trying to balance all of these things. You don't really understand where I'm coming from. Yeah, sure, I mean, it's easy for you to say not to bow when it comes to relationships, but you don't understand the relationships that I've had. And I think so often what we can do is because we look at somebody else's lane, because we look at somebody else's experience, it gives us license and space to absolve ourselves of responsibility for God's call on our life. Wow. But this is the thing is, I don't think that you ought to have the convenience to just throw your call away. There's too many people counting on the call that God has put on you. And yet so often what we'll do is we'll look at somebody else's experience. Yeah, you don't get it. You don't understand what I'm going through. And this is the thing, I absolutely don't. And you may be less advantaged than me. Or maybe you're more advantaged than me. And this is what I know, is we can look around and we can, you know, look at all of the different people and why this should have happened and why that should have happened. But this is what I know, is in this story, this guy is looking at Jesus and he's going, man, you must be the only person who doesn't know this. You must be the only person who doesn't understand. And yet the irony is he's talking to the only person who does understand. And this is the thing. What does this mean for us? Is I think we can take a lot of encouragement that the fact that God understands where you're at. And this is the thing, if God understands where you've come from, if he understands the places in your life where you've been disadvantaged, if he understands the places where you haven't had the same opportunity as someone else, but yet in 1 Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you is going to complete it, then I need to have confidence that other people might not understand what's going on. But if there's a God who fully and completely understands where I'm at, understands my situation, and is still calling me, that's a God worth following, that's a calling worth getting up and saying, I am going to continue the race. And so I wonder for you, are you absolving yourself of responsibility because of somebody else's story? Because of what somebody's done? And I'm not trying to make light of your situation whatsoever. I'm just trying to say that you have a God who's a creator who fully understands it. And if he fully understands it and is still fully calling you and perfecting a good work in you, then you can have confidence on your best day, but also have confidence on your worst day. That he's still there and he's still in control. You know, I look at this guy too. These two guys were partners in retreat. And I wonder, just as a side note, who are the people who are speaking into your situation? You know, it's easy to find people who will validate you. And this is what I've seen a lot in relationships, is that we crave understanding, but really understanding is a guise for absolution and vindication. What we really want is actually somebody to just say, no, it's okay, I understand, you shouldn't have to do that. Yeah, no, you didn't get a good set of cards, and so you shouldn't have to serve right now. No, well, definitely. I mean, that's how that relationship panned out. And again, you got to understand this for your context. So obviously, I'm painting very broad strokes right here. But this is the thing, is I wonder who are the relationships and who are the people that are speaking in? Do you have people that you're just processing with to understand and really just say, hey, like, yeah, I mean, we tried our best. Or do you have somebody like Jesus who's spurring you on, who's saying, this is your situation, but this is what you're called to. This is your situation, but guess what? This is our God. And I want people like that. And this is the thing, Jesus completely understands that situation. When he was on the cross, there was tons of people who said, look, man, like, just save yourself. Just tap out. Just quit. And yet Jesus was convicted and convinced, looking at you, looking at me, and said, no, I know who I am. I'm here for such a time as this. And I might not understand your situation, but he fully understands your situation and is saying, keep going. I wonder who needs to be on the other side of your yes. Who needs to be on the other side of you just saying, man, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep believing. I don't understand your situation, but God fully does, and he's still calling you today. And this is the thing. Don't let your situation change your evaluation. Don't let your situation change your evaluation. I remember Rebecca and I, speaking about the health stuff, we went over to this couple's house, really good friends of ours, and they're super healthy people. And literally, I don't know if you've ever felt that peer pressure before, but they were like talking about the virtues of drinking water, and they're drinking water. They're like, hey, like, what do you guys want? You know, we got pop, we got juice, all these things. Both Rebecca and I were just like, water. Like, are you sure? It's like, yes, no, I wouldn't like any of those beverages. I want some water. And in that moment, I heard a still small voice say, you're an idiot. I don't know if it was me or God, like somewhere in between probably, but this is the thing, is sometimes I think in life we can do that. In a situation will change our evaluation of something. Listen to what these guys say. So Jesus is like, all right, so what happened? Tell me all about it. They're like, okay, this is the things that happened to Jesus. The man from Nazareth. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death. They crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. All of a sudden, this guy that they had followed, believing was the Messiah, was now a man. This guy who was going to do great things was a good teacher. And I wonder for you if there's places where you've tapped out, if there's places where you've quit, and your situation you've been in has changed the evaluation of what you believe God can do in that situation, how you believe God can work in that situation. And this is what I want to encourage you with today is maybe there's places where you've tapped out. Maybe there's places where you don't feel like you've got the courage or the conviction or the passion to keep going. Is that look and locate those places. Maybe there's places where you're not believing the same way you used to. I even think of Jesus in the Bible. He's talking to Martha, and basically one of their good friends, Lazarus, dies. And Jesus walks on the scene. It's too late. And he basically goes up to Martha, and he's like, hey, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he'll rise when everybody else rises in the last day. See, Martha had faith for Jesus to show up when Lazarus was alive. But the situation had changed her evaluation. I mean, this guy couldn't be that good, though. He couldn't do it if he was already dead. And yet Jesus proved them wrong in that situation. I wonder for you, where are the situations where Jesus needs to show you that he's still in control, that he's still able, that he's still capable, that he's still a healer, that he's still a provider? I wonder for you if the situation has changed your evaluation of God. And yet this is what I see in God's word, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And listen to this. Listen what happens. Jesus starts to switch the gears. And so these guys have been doing a lot of talking. Jesus has been doing a lot of walking and listening. That's a great path for even restoring people. But this is the thing, is then Jesus starts to talk. And he calls them out. He's like, yo, you guys are dumb to start. He's like, you foolish people. You know what? There's actually a space to call people out. It's in the Bible. To do it lovingly. You find it hard to believe all the prophets wrote about in scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all of these things before entering his glory? See, this is the thing, is that society at that time believed in a Messiah who would be powerful, but they forgot that the prophets talked about a Messiah who would suffer. I think a lot of the time in life, we believe in a calling that's powerful, but we don't realize that a calling has a cost as well. That's just a side note. But this is the thing. Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all of the prophets, explaining from all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. So imagine this. Like, this would be an incredible moment. Jesus literally gives, like, an exegesis of, like, the entire scripture. He's like, all right, this is the whole thing. I'm going to unpack it all, and I'm going to make sense of the whole thing. And I think, well, what does this mean? What can we take from this? I think one of the greatest things we can do in the places where we've maybe tapped out, the places where we've thrown in the towel, is to remember what God has done, to remember who he is, and to open up his word. You know, it's interesting, actually, in Deuteronomy, one of the things when they were giving first fruits, so basically the Israelite population, at the beginning of a harvest, they would give the first bit of their harvest. And when they went to the temple, this is what they had to say. They were required to say this. It says this in Deuteronomy 26. You must then say in the presence of the Lord your God, my ancestor Jacob was a wandering Armenian who went to live as a foreigner in Egypt. His family arrived few in number, but in Egypt they became a large family and a mighty nation. When the Egyptians oppressed and humiliated us by making them their slaves, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. He heard our cries, saw our hardship, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and a powerful arm. And it goes on and on. But literally built into the culture was this idea of remembering what God had done, remembering his providence, remembering his goodness. And in the same way, when we explore God's word, it reminds us that you might be facing off with a situation, but I'm sure that in the contents of the Bible, there was somebody who faced off with something just like you, and God showed himself faithful. That there's story after story, person after person, experience after experience, where God showed up in an incredible way. He's been faithful through it all. And this is the thing, is when your life becomes all about your calling, when your life becomes all about your story, it's hard to see the hope of anybody else's story. When you realize, though, that your life is actually just part of a much greater story and a much greater narrative that God is painting, then all of a sudden, it's not just all about me and what I'm going through, but we realize that God is weaving a thread throughout humanity, and all throughout that thread of humanity is His faithfulness and His providence, His grace and His mercy. And when you realize that you're part of a bigger story, then all of a sudden, the places where you want to call it quits, you realize, no, He's doing something much bigger than me right now. He's doing something much bigger than my situation. He's doing something in this church. He's doing something in this city, and I'm just a part of what He's doing. But I know all throughout the Bible, He's faithful and He's good for His word. Man, maybe you need to realize that you're part of a much greater story. God's just using your life as part of His story to show His faithfulness towards humanity. And if that's the case, we can have confidence on our worst day. We can have confidence when we don't feel like we have what it takes. We can have confidence when we don't see God in our season. That's how the story ends. So Jesus, it looks like He's going to walk off, and they're like, please, can you come over? Do you want to just stay with us? He's like, all right, sure, let's have dinner. And it says that Jesus went home with them. They sat down to eat, and He took bread and blessed it, and He broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were open, and they recognized Him. And at that moment, He disappeared. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as He talked to us on the road and explained scriptures to us? And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. Jesus never asked them to change. He never asked them to get passionate again. But when we start to locate His goodness in our lives, when we start to remember what He's done in and through it all, when we start to remember that He understands our situation and still calls us, when we start to realize that although the situation might have changed, He's still just as good and just as faithful and just as able, I just think that that changes something. And finally, His presence ultimately changes us. And you see this moment, and He has this closeness of relationship, and in that moment, their eyes open and they see Him. You know, in that place of great resistance is actually where God can show you who He is. You know, 7 in the Bible, it's actually a symbol and sign of perfection. And the interesting thing that I find about this story is they literally walked 7 miles in the wrong direction. And this is what I know, is the places where you've tapped out, the places where you've quit, are actually the very places where Jesus walks alongside you and perfects something in you that you never would have been able to do on your own. Keep going. Today, there's some of you, even when it comes to building God's house, you need to keep going. You might have given it a try. You need to start again. You need to start afresh with maybe some of your relationships. You need to recommit yourself to this family and go, man, yeah, my schedule's full. There's lots of things happening. I don't have all the answers, but I know You've called me to this, God. And I know You're faithful. And I know You're good. And all of a sudden, you see these guys heading back to Jerusalem with this passion in their hearts to go, man, we're going to do something. We're going to make a difference. And it started with Jesus perfecting them, walking backwards in retreat. This is your moment. This is your time to go, man, I'm going to put my foot down. I'm not just going to go in every which direction, but this season, I'm going to say yes to God's plans for my life. I'm going to say yes to His ability. I'm going to say yes to His capability. I'm going to say yes to His faithfulness. I'm going to say yes to His providence. This is what Paul says. He says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. Today, my encouragement is to start running again. You may feel tired, you may feel worn out, you may feel fearful, you may feel like a failure, but in that moment, when you continue to run, when you continue to move, when you continue to have Jesus behind you, when you continue to rely on His faithfulness, when you continue to rely on His providence, when you continue to rely on His mercy and His grace, something incredible happens. And in this season, I believe that for you. What does it mean for you this season? Step out, keep running, keep going, keep pursuing Him.
Thank you for joining us today. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, visit our website. And if you'd like to support the ministry of My Church financially, you can do so by following the giving link at livelove.ca. Thank you for partnering with us. We pray this message has blessed and encouraged you.